Brothers and sisters, as Seventh-day Adventists, we are to stand firm on the platform of eternal truth that has stood test and trial. We are to hold to the sure pillars of our faith. The principles of truth that God has revealed to us are our only true foundation. They have made us what we are. The lapse of time has not lessened their value. It is the constant effort of the enemy to remove this truth from their setting and to put in their place spurious theories. He will bring in everything that he possibly can to carry out his deceptive designs. But the Lord will raise up men of keen perception who will give this truth their proper place in the plan of God. God has called his church in this day, as he called ancient Israel, to stand as a light in the earth. By the mighty cleaver of truth, the messages of the first, second, and third angels' messages, he has separated them from the churches and from the world to bring them into sacred nearness to himself. He has made them the depositaries of his law and has committed to them the great truth of prophecy for this time. Like the hoary oracles committed to ancient Israel, these are a sacred trust to be communicated to the world. Nothing is to be permitted to hinder this work. It is the all-important work for time. It is to be far-reaching as eternity. The love that Jesus manifested for souls of men in the sacrifice which he made for their redemption will actuate all his followers. God has desired that we take forth the message that he has given us. The souls are perishing, and the light which has entrusted to a people has been put in a bushel. Who is there to stand to proclaim these messages? The General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists, which was part of God's church, had done this work for some time, but as time went on, they have been departing and parting from the truth. And God, through his servant, has been sending warnings to this system, until this system rejected the message. And God, through his servant Ellen G. White, before she breathed her last, sent these messages, which I want to share with you. I want to give you the condition of the General Conference system between 1893 and 1915. That is when she died. This system has been given warnings and warnings, but because it has rejected the light, God has sent such admonitions. And these are to help us, especially we who live at a present time, that we may realize the work which you are supposed to do, and we have to realize that God has heard his church in this earth. And when a system rejects the light, God removes from them his candlesticks and gives it to those that will take up the work. Ellen G. White writes concerning the Conference system and says in Manuscript Releases, Volume 9, page 179, paragraph 3. She says, in following a course of this kind, men are pursuing a similar course to that of the Roman Catholics, who center in the Pope every power of the Church, and ascribe to him authority to act as God. God had never designed that his Church may have a sole man to rule the Church. But God, through his servant, admonished the Conference system, the General Conference system, not to have a president, a man at the head to control the affairs of the church, but to reject it and has to send this warning. He says men are pursuing a similar course to that of the Roman Catholics. Why is she using this? Because when you look at the hierarchy of Roman Catholicism, you find they have invested, they have ascribed to the Pope the authority to act as God. So he says that man, the general coffre system, is following into the steps of Rome, who center in the Pope every power of the church and ascribe to him authority to act as God, so that those below him in station lay every plan at his feet, that he may prescribe the rules for men and women in every minutia of life. In following a course of this kind, there is a danger that no chance will be left for God to answer the prayers of his delegated servants according to his promise in giving them wisdom in pursuing their work. And he continued in 1896. She writes this in PC 422, paragraph 8. She says, "Who can feel sure that they are safe in respecting the voice of the General Coffers Association? If the people in our churches understood the management of work, who walk in the light of the sparks of their own kindling, would they respect their decisions?" She says, "I answer no, not for a moment. I've been shown that the people at large do not know that the heart of the work is being diseased and corrupted at Battle Creek. Even today, men have not realized the apostasy that is at the head of the work. Battle Creek was the center or the headquarters of the General Conference before it was shifted to Silver Springs in Maryland. Says few are realizing that the work is being diseased and corrupted at the General Conference. Says many of the people are in a lethargic, listless, apathetic condition, and are sent to plans which they do not understand. Today, policies are coming from the General Conference, and people are sending to them, elders are sending to these policies. They do not even understand these policies." He says they do not know that the head of the work is being diseased. And he continued to say, men have seemed determined to place the mold and superscription of their human wisdom upon the work of God. They refused to be worked by the Holy Spirit and brought in their own wisdom and devising." Then she writes here in Manuscript Releases, Volume 17, 185, paragraph 3, and she says that the result of this has been in various ways. The sacred character of the cause of God is no longer realized at the work, at the center of the work. The voice from Battle Creek, that is the headquarters of the General Conference, which has been regarded as the authority in counseling how the work should be done, is no longer the voice of God. I'm just bringing this to show what had transpired, and then she finally writes this statement that the General Conference, which had for so long been counted as the voice of God, is no longer the voice of God. And she says, "But it is the voice of whom?" She asks a question. "It is the voice of whom? From whence does it come? And where is its vital power? This state of things is maintained by men who should have been disconnected from the work long ago." Says these men should have been disconnected from the work, but because they cannot perceive, these men still to be seen as leaders of the church. He says, these men do not scruple to quote the word of God as their authority, but the God who is leading them is a false God. Many people, they have not realized that indeed it is not God who is leading this system. She says, where is this voice? Where is it coming from? Where is its power? He says, it is a power coming from a false God. He says, it has been some years since I have considered the general conference as the voice of God. Many people today, you tell them this, they cannot take heed of it. They think you are just joking, you're just in your own business. But people need to know, need to realize that the system they're clinging to, the